Well, just going back over this past week, obviously we have some disruptions to potentially to the global economic outlook coming from the policies of President Trump, not least of which, when he's going to be imposing various tariffs, that there will be some, we know that, and that is going to cut into global economic activity to some degree, and at the same time, it's going to be adding to price pressures. But if we're looking just at the economic numbers coming through from the United States, few interesting things. It's still growing pretty well. So that's the story that comes through from the numbers we had over the past week. And we still got a pretty tight labor market over there. So just looking at one or two of the indicators that came out last week, we had the key ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and also the Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, both for February. These are good leading indicators, and the important part is they're both sitting above 50. So the ISM Manufacturing PMI came in at 50.3. It was at 50.9 the month before, but the 2 months between them, this is the first time we've had that sitting above 50 for the US something like 2 years. And so that's still indicating that the manufacturing sector looks as if it's actually lifting somewhat as we look ahead. There was some worry in it, though, and so we had a measure of what manufacturers expect to be their prices to look like, both input prices and output prices. And manufacturing prices on the diffusion index there lifted from 54.9, which is a high reading going back to January, to 62.4. So clearly, they're expecting some price pressures to be coming through from the manufacturing output. And of course, a lot of that can be sheeted home, to what's likely to be happening to things like tariffs. The non-manufacturing PMI, when that came out, we had that coming out for February. That actually lifted a bit, more than the market expected. This is the biggest part of the economy, and it went up to 53.5 from 52.8. So, whilst there's a lot of fear about sort of potential for the US to fall into recession, it isn't there in these leading indicators. These leading indicators are still pointing to some strength. I should also mention that service prices went up. It was already very elevated, and this is a key part of the inflation problem that's rebuilding in the US. It was already up at 60.4 on the prices for services. That went up to 62.6. So we've got a lot of price pressure there building in some of these leading indicators, according to what businesses are saying in both the manufacturing and the non-manufacturing sector in the United States. On top of that, still got tight labour market conditions. It showed, first of all, in the weekly initial jobless claims. We had that blip upwards the week before. We went up to 242,000, and we thought, well, maybe that's a sign that the cuts that are running through the public sector jobs might be just starting to show through in some of these numbers. But it then promptly came back down again to 221,000 for the most recent week. So that's still well and truly in strong territory and suggests that there's still some pressure points coming. One piece of information that really got some headlines too was, I don't normally report it, but the trade balance in the United States. And the trade balance for the month of January was a record high deficit. Of course, this is a red rag to a bull to somebody like President Trump. The trade deficit went from $98.1 billion deficit going back to December, which was pretty high, to a record high $131 billion for the month of January. Much of this was people's sort of imports went up sharply, and the reason for that, of course, was a lot of businesses wanted to get their imports in before any trade restrictions came in, and so they were busy doing this, and so that's one of the reasons why it flew up. But this just feeds President Trump's desire to sort of impose tariffs on anybody who's running a trade surplus for the United States. So a little bit of a red rag came through from that one. And then we finished the week with the non-farm payrolls report, things like average hourly earnings and the unemployment rate. And these still showed pretty strong a pretty strong growth. Non-farm payrolls were revised down for the previous month from 143,000 to 125,000, but then lifted for the most recent month to 151,000. It was slightly below market expectations, but you know, that's still a pretty respectable figure. Average hourly earnings were up 0.3% as the market expected. And as a result of that, you know, we had some revisions the month before, but the annual rate of change in average hourly earnings lifted from a revised 3.9% to 4.0%. So we got pretty strong wage growth running through there. And the unemployment rate just ticked up very slightly from 4.0, going back the month before, to 4.1, but essentially still, you know, a pretty tight labour market. This week in the US, you know, apart from anything we hear from the administration, and you know, that can go in all directions, but you know, we have some pretty key information coming through too, with the Consumer Price Index for the latest month coming out. And the CPI, it looks as if it's going to be up 0.3% month on month for both the headline CPI and the core CPI. Whilst that will bring the annual rates down very slightly, you know, we're running around 0.3 a month to 0.4 a month. You know, we're annualising well and truly in the mid-threes, but because of the base going back to this time last year, the annual headline inflation rate, if it comes in where the market's expecting, should come down to 2.9 from 3, and the core CPI, you know, edging down to 3.2 from 3.3. We have producer prices coming out as well. They're also expected to be out on Thursday, and looking for that to come in at 0.3% as well for both of them. And so, yeah, that's, you know, those are jogging along 3.5 to 3.6% year on year, and they'll stay around that. So the pipeline inflation pressure is still coming through there. We also get March preliminary consumer sentiment coming out right at the end of the week. Could be soft. The market's thinking that'll be down to 63.8 from 64.7. But there'll also be focus in that on inflation expectations. Inflation expectations in that survey jumped last month to 4.3% of what people expect inflation to be over the next year or two. If it goes up any further, you know, that's problematic. One of the things that, you know, the administration is now very focused on is actually bond yields in the United States. And you can see it from the way in which they're organizing their borrowing program, and they're taking as much pressure out of the long end as they can. You can see that President Trump's starting to jawbone that market. There's rumors that when he has a problem with countries overseas who have some investments in the U.S., they'll be putting pressure on them to buy U.S. treasuries. He really wants to try and drive interest rates down, almost artificially. But the problem is, everything he does that's lifting inflation suggests that the bond yield should go the other way. So, if anything, you know, the bond market's going to become a bit of a battleground in all of this as we look out over the course of the next month or two. My own view about that is that, you know, the Fed's going to be very cautious about cutting rates much further. Because of the risks that are running there on the inflation side, and as a result of that, and also inflation starting to creep up in the United States, you know, that's going to take some toll, and bond yields are more likely to rise than fall over the next few months, although, you know, the pressures that can come through from the administration in the near term can push things the other way temporarily. Moving to China, and we had their usual annual meeting where they confirmed the growth rate is going to be 5%, they think, for this year. They also announced, without too many specifics, an extra percentage point of GDP in terms of fiscal stimulus. So we'll wait and see how that's allocated and whether that will make much difference. It's certainly helpful to China's growth prospects. We also had the February cakes in manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMI came out, both a little bit firmer. So the manufacturing PMI lifted to 50.8 from 50.1. It's in expansionary territory. And non-manufacturing PMI lifted to 51.4 from 51. So just watching to see if anything, the prospects for China, even though it's right in the gun sights for the Trump administration in terms of Chinese exports into the United States. And it's worthwhile noting that we did have some retaliation from the Chinese too, and hitting the Americans, or at least the Trump supporters, where it hurts most, and that's in all that big red band of Republican states running through the agricultural states, where China imposed 15% tariffs on agricultural imports from the United States into China. And so that won't make many farmers in the US particularly happy. So we're just watching those developments too. We had some trade data too came out at the end of the week, and it shows just some of those pressure points starting to come through for trade. February exports were up only 2.3% year on year. That was well down from 10.7%. going back to January, and on the import side, that actually fell by 8.4% year on year after being up 1% going back to the month of January. So some pressure points just starting to show there in weaker trade for China, and that's the problem that China faces, is that it can't trade its way to better growth anymore. It has to focus on domestic demand, but some of those announcements last week in the key party meetings just hint that maybe they're starting to get the message and will start to stimulate their own demand. This week, nothing of note coming out of China in terms of economic data. Then we move to Australia. And there were a few things that came out last week which suggests that, barring everything that's happening around the world and, the flood damage that we've got running through northern New South Wales, running into southeast Queensland, we've got an economy which is actually picking up pace in terms of economic growth, and it looks as if it's still maintaining it into the first part of this year. We had Q4 GDP came out, and it was one of the best ones we'd had for a couple of years. It was up better than expected, plus 0.6% quarter on quarter. That was compared with 0.3% going back the quarter before. That lifted the annual growth rate to 1.3% from 0.8%. Also, for the first time in 2 years, GDP per head actually rose. We had had negative signs on the front of that the last couple of years. We got a plus 0.1% there for GDP per head. We had good income growth running through, in fact, almost too much income growth. When you're looking at compensation of employees and that number in GDP, it was up 2% quarter on quarter, and wages are up very, very strongly. Part of that's to do with employment growth, of course, as well. But wage growth in GDP terms is growing at 8% year on year. Inside that, obviously, there's a lot of employment growth. But the problem is there's not much investment growth coming through. So when we're looking at the contributions on the demand side to GDP, we had a reasonable contribution coming through from a lift in household consumption expenditure. That actually lifted for the first time in quite a while. Still very strong growth running through the public sector side. Small amount of growth coming through from business investment spending, but not much. And a little bit coming through from trade. But broadly speaking, demand is lifting inside the economy. And so, and that's at a time when we're trying to feed that demand by just putting on more and more labour. We're not getting a lot of productivity growth. And in fact, productivity, another negative sign on the front of it. It was minus 0.1% quarter on quarter. So the other interesting part inside GDP is we get some alternative inflation figures. And we get inflation relating to final domestic demand inside the Australian economy. It's a sort of broader and alternative measure to the CPI. That was up 0.7% quarter on quarter and was up 3.5% year on year. So quite a bit more inflation in there than is showing in the CPI in this broadest measure of inflation. So you have a few small worries there, I think, as far as the RBA is concerned, that we've got growth. That's great news. It's still feeding very, very good employment growth, but we've still got a very tight labour market. We haven't got any productivity change coming through. And the pressure points there for inflation staying up are actually quite high once you get through all the various government initiatives that run to their end towards the end of this financial year. On top of that, we had some January figures, and they suggest that we're off to a pretty good start. As far as January is concerned as well, we had January retail sales. They were up 0.3% month on month. They're now up 3.9% year on year, so well above the inflation rate. That compared with minus 0.1% going back to December. So pretty strong start in terms of retail spending to January. We also had January home building approvals, and we've had back-to-back improvement in home building approvals. Home building approvals lifted by 6.3% month on month after a revised 1.7% lift going back to the month of December. So we're starting to see some strong activity through building activity too, starting to come through. So all of these factors point to that growth rate, that stronger growth rate we saw in Q4 is not going away. Even with some of the headwinds that are coming through from international trade because of Trump's policies, and also perhaps temporarily from some damage coming through from the floods in northern New South Wales and southern Queensland. So what it all boils down to is that the Reserve Bank still has little capacity to follow up that rate cut immediately. It's still going to be biding its time. It really does need the next quarterly CPI, and that's not out to the end of April. So we can say with increasing certainty they're not going to be cutting back to back. They're not going to be doing one in April when they meet. The earliest they can do anything else is probably going through to May, and even then it's looking problematic on the way this data is starting to run towards some strength. This week we get a lot of sentiment surveys, so we get things like NAB, business conditions, business confidence for the month of February. These were in positive territory last month. Now, business conditions at plus 4, business confidence at plus 3. They're looking reasonably firm. And we also get March Westpac consumer sentiment, which went roughly sideways going back in February. But the mix over the last few months has been that it's lifted quite a bit off its bottom. And so that one is looking somewhat better too. Finally, moving to Europe. And starting just with the data, we had their manufacturing and services sector PMIs. Manufacturing PMI lifted a little, so it lifted to 47.6 from 46.6. But it's good that it lifted, but it's still sitting below 50. So it's still probably in contractionary territory. The services sector PMI, which had been doing so well, has come back from 51.3 to 50.6. We had the preliminary CPI came out, and core CPI. They're getting pretty sticky. So we had the preliminary CPI. It was expected to come back to 2.3% year on year. It came down to 2.4 from 2.5. And the core CPI was expected to get down to 2.5, came down to 2.6 from 2.7. We had the January unemployment figure came out, and a new low point for unemployment in Europe, so down to 6.2%. So still a very tight labour market there running through. And we also had the ECB, and they did cut. They cut another 25 basis points to 2.5% from 2.75%. But the comments that came through from Christine Lagarde are that their capacity to do much more, we're getting to near enough the base for interest rates there. As far as the ECB is concerned for the time being. And that's partly because inflation's still holding up there. We also had a revision to Q4 GDP, a slight upward revision. So they originally came at 0.1% quarter on quarter. They lifted that to 0.2. So the annual rate of GDP growth was actually lifted a bit to 1.2% year on year. Just looking a little bit better there, just as far as Q4 GDP is concerned. Not a lot of data coming from Europe this week. Although the things, you know, we're watching over the next week or two, you know, in Germany, it's an interesting one because obviously the new Bundesbank, the new Bundestag, their parliament, comes into operation later this month. The current Bundestag, you know, that there is a sort of two-thirds majority for the existing coalition of governing parties. There's an opportunity there to, you know, try and get on top of this debt ceiling, public sector debt ceiling, which has been really constraining the Germans' ability to spend money. The current the new chancellor, as it seems, he's been saying that they'll try and get some temporary measures through to curtail that debt ceiling. Whilst they've still got a two-thirds majority in the Bundestag, and just to lift defence spending by Germany, but really it needs something rather bolder than that. And there's this window that's open where European growth prospects could actually improve a lot if they manage to curtail that restriction on public sector borrowing in Germany. Whether they take it or not, you know, we'll wait and see. Because once they get the new Bundestag, CDU is now the main leading party. The Social Democrats will be joining them in the coalition. That's the way it looks. But the problem is both of them did poorly in the election. So they no longer between them have a two-thirds majority, which is what they need if they're going to get constitutional changes in Germany. So that's where there's just this slight window that's there for running over the course of this next 13, 14 days, and just watching how that pans out as well, amongst other things, of course, which are happening in Europe. But otherwise, watching through the course of this week, you know, people are worrying about the negative effects from some of Trump's policies now. That's probably going to continue for a little while yet, but the underpinnings for the US economy are actually quite strong. So the rally that's run through bonds, you may have a fairly short shelf life on it from here. And some of that more extreme weakness that we've been seeing running through growth assets, there might be a brighter edge on that as we go out over the course of this next week, as people recognise that the US economy is still actually performing pretty well.